Coach, it was a relatively quiet day from the receivers, but what did you see from that group on tape?
Yeah, those guys were doing the dirty work, and I would also say if you turn on the film, we had guys open. And so when you go back to, you know, getting better from week one to week two, we just got to find those guys and give them an opportunity to make plays.
Song hits a little different these days, doesn't it? Noted Coxman Dave Grohl. Yes, it's something.
We touched on that yesterday.
We sure did.
In the grab bag here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937.
I wonder how that forgiveness is going that he was working towards.
Yeah, I'm sure his wife's over it by today. Yeah. I was out there on social media for a couple of days.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm sure he's earned his forgiveness back
just fine
from his, you know, 15 and 10-year-old daughters or whatever they are.
Whoops.
So when it comes to unlocking the passing game,
mm-hmm.
You heard Jerod Mayo say it there. Put on the film. We had guys open. I mean, look, I didn't go back and watch the All-22, Keith.
What?
I don't know about you. I had
it's in my queue.
Bets to make, drinking to do.
Yep, yep.
I didn't go back and watch the All-22. But I'll take Mayo at his word. Fine, receivers were running all over the place. I mean, what's he saying? When you say we had guys open, we got to hit him, what's he talking about?
Yeah,
he's talking about
the quarterback.
Jacoby Brissett not seeing open receivers. I mean, is there any other way to take that?
No. You're trying to compliment the receivers, but in doing so, you're kind of ripping the quarterback
right.
for not being able to see it.
Exactly.
And overall, he did play a good game. Like on the Jacoby Brissett scale, he played a good game. And there were some throws that he missed, but I think even Jerod Mayo, and I'm sure Alex Van Pelt would take it, be like, all right, you missed a couple of throws. But he didn't force it.
He didn't kill us.
He forced one. He forced one. Good. Touche. Yeah. He forced one, and you got away with it. But so just do that math. If you force five, how many are you going to get away with? Right? You barely got away with the one. So I think they'll take that overall. They want him to be conservative. They want him to, you know, if he sees an opportunity to maybe force the ball in down the field a little bit or, you know, scoot and pick up a first down with his legs, which he was able to do multiple times in the game, I think they'll take that overall. But I think Mayo's also saying that to sort of say, like, hey, that's where we started. Like, the passing game with Brissett can be better. I think that's what he's trying to say. Whether he truly believes it or not, I don't know.
Yeah, it came across to me as a criticism of the quarterback play.
Yeah.
And we'll get to an interesting update on Drake May here in a moment from the sideline reporter last week, Evan Washburn, on CBS. But is there a receiver you expect? I mean, we should expect more out of all of them.
Yeah.
But is there a receiver that specifically you think, okay, they can get more out of this guy, they will get more out of this guy this week against Seattle?
Yeah, Pop Douglas. I mean, I like long-term Jalen Polk as the second-round pick this year to be the guy, and I'm really hoping that he ends up being their best receiver for a long time, and that's the idea when you pick somebody that high. But based on the flashes we saw last season, the talk out of camp this year, even though Pop Douglas wasn't available throughout all of camp, he was their most effective guy. I mean, the thing with him is really just worried about, because he's so small, is he going to be able to last a full season? Is he really? I think he said at the beginning of the year, was his goal 100 catches or 1,000 yards, maybe both? Like, he had a big goal
that
he set for himself. And I don't know if he's going to achieve that, but he should be their leading receiver, I would think, this year. Receptions-wise, probably yards-wise as well. I don't know if he's going to be a big touchdown guy. Probably not. But I would say Pop Douglas, because you can also do different things. You can throw it short to him. You can end arounds. Like, any just overall touches, I'll give him credit for.
And that's what I want to see for both him and Jalen Polk as well. Give him easy throws.
Yeah.
See if they can run after the catch. I don't need to see K.J. Osborne anymore.
At all.
I saw him for the one game. He's terrible. You can cut him if you want. I'm sure they won't since they spent money on him. Don't need to see him anymore. Nick just dropped this stat in. Separation win rates for the Patriots.
Oh, my God. What is this, Nick?
Jalen Polk. Yeah, how do I even read these numbers?
This is
33%.
Outrageous. Open 33%
of the time. 33% of the time, Jalen Polk. That was most on the team.
So
ahead of Pop Douglas at 22%. Austin Hooper just running circles around people at 21%.
You can't cover Hooper.
And then you get down to Tyquan Thornton. Hunter Henry, friend of the show, creates zero separation.
Nope, doesn't need to. Good catch radius.
KJ Osborne at the bottom. So
KJ Osborne doesn't get open at all. Is
the
what
point,
you're
and when he does, he drops them.
And he's small.
And he's tiny.
Yeah.
Other than that, good player.
Yep.
So the point being, though, I think they can get more out of Polk this week, too, and they should give him some looks. So I would start with those two and expect more out of those two this week.
Oddly promising, though, and we were both surprised by the snap count number, but mm-hmm. Polk played a lot in the game. You didn't notice him. He had one catch.
I was shocked when you told me he played over 50%.
But at least he was out there.
I didn't realize that.
And so who knows? And based on this number, the separation win rate, it sounds like he was open, so that might have been one of the guys that Mayo was talking about specifically.
That's what I was just going to say. Who is he talking? Who is he talking about? Well, is he talking about Douglas?
Polk and Douglas.
Is he talking about Jalen Polk? Yes. So those guys are open. So find them, Jacoby.
The Hooper Scooper.
Do you expect more? Yeah, the Louisville Hooper.
Because I don't expect anything from Osborne, neither do you. Tyquan Thornton, I've given up on, but he apparently had a pretty good camp and he was open. He actually had the long the Patriots, which was hilarious, we talked about this earlier in the week, didn't have a play of 20 yards.
Nope.
And they won the game. But Stevenson had a 17-yard run, and Tyquan Thornton had a 17-yard catch. Those were the two longest plays of the game on offense.
Those are your quote-unquote explosive plays.
Yeah, they were.
So what do you expect out of the receivers this week? What's your game plan against
Seattle? Over, under 121 yards passing, because that's the number over against Cincinnati.
Over. Has to be.
Yeah, that is a low number.
I mean, I'd probably take over 150. That's still low.
Over 150?
Yes. 150 is that's nothing.
No, but you see what they have.
I understand,
here?
Like, but I just
all they do is want to run the ball, and they don't have a quarterback who can throw.
But
so
they didn't have. They didn't
I know
have
in real life that's a low number, but
just a few more throw, just a few, a little more.
How
volume
many
in
Bo
the passing
Nicks have last year or last week against Seattle? I have it. I'm just take a guess.
130 something.
Yeah.
We read it the other day. Yeah.
138.
138. Over.
All right, so let's do 138 over under. You're gonna say over.
Over. Yeah,
I'll say under.
So what's the game plan? How many points do they need to score? Both Keith and I said 17.
Yep.
Do you expect more out of the receivers? I asked this earlier, too. How do you unlock the passing game? 3-7, 93-7. Guys, how do you unlock the passing game? You put in Drake effing May.
Okay, fair.
Fair is right. Yeah. Let me hear Evan Washburn. I'm trying to remember where this was. I don't remember. Oh, was it with Chris Sims? Who was he with? I don't recall. So shame on me. But Evan Washburn, who did sideline reporting last week for the Patriots game, which means Tom Brady, he sat in the production meetings. He got all the behind-the-scenes info.
You're not allowed to do that.
On what's going on at Patriots practice and how they're game planning. We talked earlier in the week. Phil Perry said Drake May got more reps than your typical backup. Evan Washburn has details on exactly how much work he got.
Jacoby's the starter. He won the job in the offseason in training camp. Drake May's the number two. But during the week, he gets 30% of the first team reps. And for those that don't know, a backup in a normal NFL situation, if they get 5 to 10% of the first team reps, that would be a lot. On top of that, when he's running the scout team, he's not getting a heads up of what he's going to face. So it's not a situation where he's there just to help out the first team defense. They want to use that as live game reps, if you will, for Drake May to face what appears to be, after what we saw yesterday in Cincinnati, a top-tier defense in New England.
Okay. Hmm. So he's getting 30% of the reps.
Okay.
And he said in that clip, you probably know this anyway, when Brady was there, the backups were getting zero reps, because why would they? 30%, and he's not just running scout team reps. He's going out there and getting live reps where he doesn't know what the defense is running, which is typically what you do on the scout team. Hey, this defense runs this. Scout team, go run it. Mimic it. Typically, he knows what they're doing, or a backup quarterback would know that. He doesn't.
Or you're running their plays. You're not running your plays.
Exactly. Yeah, so they're running his plays against the live defense, and they're putting him to the test. Now, he wouldn't commit to a timeline. I still think if things go south the next few weeks, which is not what I'm forecasting, but if they do.
No, you got him 3-0.
That Miami week is still in play, week 5.
It is.
But it sounds like they're giving him more reps than normal. They're still not fully sold on Jacoby Brissett, and it's a pretty aggressive plan for Drake May. So if you are like that texter, hey, unlock the passing game, get May in there. I still think that's right around the corner, assuming they hit a rough patch at any point.
Well, I kind of read it now as maybe the win-loss record doesn't matter as much. Like, maybe they could be a decent team, and they still make the change.
You know who did that? The Dolphins.
Dolphins, right, exactly.
We talked about this with Tua and Fitzpatrick.
And then Flores kind of butchered that, and then, you know, Fitzpatrick won a couple games later, went to Tua, then they kind of yo-yoed him, and then there were some injuries, and that really did become quite a bit of a mess. But we don't know exactly what the plan is, but they've always referenced this plan that they have for Drake May. And maybe it was just, hey, we're going to get him ready. We're going to get him ready during the season as well. And if the rest of the team, I think that's also an important piece. If the offensive line isn't a disaster, and at least through 1 week, it wasn't a disaster. And Ramondre Stevenson looks great. If you can maybe get some of the other skill guys to play a little bit better, you know, you have a good defense. So you're not just throwing them out there into the worst situation in the league, which, before the year started, it was in the mix. It was in but if you compared their performance as an overall team to Carolina, the Giants, and some of the other things we saw on Sunday, they're above them. They're better than those teams. So maybe they're like, hey, Jacoby Brissett, you can play well. maybe in your scenario, maybe they're 3-2 after five games. They could still make the switch. I thought, I'm like, well, if they keep winning, that's going to kind of postpone it. Now I'm not so sure. If he's getting that many reps, I think they might have a plan. Like, we think we can get him ready for week six because they don't have to worry about Brissett lighting the world on fire. Brissett, like, we're all applauding Brissett because he threw for 120 yards and didn't turn it over. Like, right. That is such an insanely low bar.
And he's lucky he didn't turn it over.
And he's not Mac Jones.
Right.
So that is a big bonus. But if he plays like that and they win these close games, the Patriots know. Gerard Mayo, even though he's a defensive guy, and Alex Van Pelt, even though he's a run guy, he knows that they drafted this guy third overall. You do need to be able to throw it. Even if it's Drake May handing the ball off a lot, you need that threat to pass.
You think if they're 3-2,
they could still make the change?
I would love to believe that. I don't believe that. If they're 3-2 and they're winning games, they'll keep their hands at 10-2 and they will leave Jacoby Brissett in there. That's what I think.
What if it's still a $120, like every game?
They'll keep Brissett in there.
So I think that you could see the switch because they say, listen, we got it. Like, we're getting by. We joked, was it last week, about that year Tim Tebow won all those games?
Yeah.
And like, how are they doing this? They knew it wasn't sustainable. And, you know, that was a different scenario. Like, now you have the third overall pick sitting there. And let's say he might be looking great in these practices. We don't know. We're not there. But if he's getting 30% and he's looking like the better guy, at some point, you owe it to the team, the 3-2 team or the 4-2 team, like whatever their record might be, to say, hey, we're actually better than we thought, and we might be able to improve and upgrade quarterback. Like, I think you have to do it.
Yeah. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. We disagree on that, but it's interesting. I'd love to see Drake May at some point, especially if you think you can raise the ceiling of this offense, which after 1 week, you need to raise the ceiling.
So are you saying if they're giving him this many reps, they're only going to put him in if Brissett gets hurt or sucks?
Yeah, or the team.
Or the team's
the team
losing.
Starts. Okay, I think it's a lot about that. If the team loses these next 3 weeks.
Yeah, just preparing themselves for that.
Yeah, I think they're going to beat Seattle. I think they can beat the Jets week 3. Niners are their own thing. But I think they can win these games. If they don't, and I'm wrong and they're 1-3, then I think they'll make the switch. But I think it has a lot to do with the team's success. So we disagree on that. But how do you unlock the passing game? What's the timeline for Drake May? How do they beat Seattle this weekend? And what's the point total they need?